Yeah, well, a lot of the strain is really now this year will be coming from increase in the price of inputs. And basically at the moment what we're suffering is an awful lot of this credit has been passed on into the merchant side of things, as well as maybe the vets and other areas. And this hasn't hit the bank accounts yet. It will be probably closer to the autumn time when these bills will all be have to be paid. And this is a huge pressure on the farm family at the moment. And we'll be looking for kind of government and EU intervention here to help out and to find solutions here to the increased lack of cash to keep the production line in motion.
Eddie, are you hearing anecdotally from farmers or members of farming families about strain being put on their relationships because of issues within farming, or, you know, as we heard, as I mentioned, there are farmers becoming addicted to their cows and neglecting their wives and children? Is it taboo to talk about it, or are some members of the farming community opening up to yourself and others about this, looking for solutions or advice?
Yeah, I think, Lucas, there is a huge problem around mental health in society in general. It has been, I suppose, exacerbated after 2 years of lockdown and COVID policies. But it is really, I suppose, in the farming community, we are coming across a lot of people who have difficulties with their own mental health, with family stresses, with family, with marriage breakups. This is an increasing problem in rural Ireland. And of course, all of this is now being added to by the stresses and strains placed on people trying to keep a farm business viable. And this has gone into overdrive with the escalation in costs. We have, you know, and look, we have a kind of a two-tiered farming system in Ireland. We have dairying, which is profitable. But having said that, a lot of dairy farmers have invested a lot of money. They have big repayments to make. And increasingly, people are going in for bigger and bigger dairy herds, which is adding to the workload. However, from our point of view in ICSA, on the other side, we have cattle and sheep farmers in suckler farming and sheep farming and beef farming who are absolutely under immense pressure, even though prices are a little bit better. They're under immense pressure because of fertilizer tripling in cost, meal costs already double and looking like there's no end to the rise in meal costs. Fuel costs probably double. Contracting costs will have to rise in line with that. And of course, then every single thing, even from the point of view of a wheelbarrow wheel, every time you go to a hardware shop now, everything has become incredibly expensive. All of that is adding to the pressures on farm families. And of course, in rural communities, farming is increasingly an isolated job, so people have very little social outlet and are dealing with these problems on their own a lot of the time.
But how common is it, Eddie, that, you know, due to the time commitment involved with farming, that marriages could actually be breaking down or ending?
Well, I suppose we don't have accurate figures and statistics on this. We can only relay, I mean, from our point of view in ICSA, we hear about these stories increasingly with members where, you know, the strain of everything is putting a pressure on family life. Farmers are, you know, they've always had to look after animals 24/7, but as we, you know, over recent years, we've seen the pressure is to have bigger and bigger herds. You know, 20 years ago, a farmer with 60 dairy cows could make a very good living for the family on a full-time basis. Nowadays, the average dairy herd is over 100 cows. So you can see there's a lot of extra work. Yes, people have more efficient ways of working, but those kind of systems have cost a lot of investment and people can't afford to get sick. There is very little help available for farmers now. Labour has, you know, has dried up substantially. And this is making, you know, when you listen to people in off-farm jobs, they talk increasingly about work-life balance. People have benefited to a certain extent from, you know, working from home in some cases has cut out the commute. But the farmer, which had that advantage that they didn't have to commute to work, nonetheless has increasing pressure to be bigger, to get bigger, or to get out. That's at the full-time side of it. We also have a lot of part-time farmers, and part-time farmers come home from work and then have to face into several hours work every evening, maybe get up very early in the morning and do a lot of farming at the weekend. And all of this has been, I suppose, coming down the tracks for many years because of cheap food policies, because, you know, farmers have been getting less and less out of the food chain in terms of the fair share of the price. Now costs have gone through the roof, and this is coming to, you know, a huge head, if you like, where the whole thing is becoming unsustainable. And it really, on the policy side of it, look at the EU and the government have been very slow to react. The EU recently announced a, you know, potentially a 15,000 payment for each farm. But when you look into the detail, there is, in fact, it's essentially smoke and mirrors, because there is no actual fund there to pay this to farmers. So what we have so far is €1,000, which doesn't even buy, you know, at this stage, a ton of fertilizer on offer to help with silage making. But it's nowhere near dealing with the crisis of inflation that we have. We have a common agricultural policy that is essentially losing, you know, has been stuck at the same rate for many, many years. So it is totally inadequate now to deal with the huge inflation in terms of agricultural input. So all of these problems are happening. And unfortunately, both EU and national governments have been far too slow to react. They have been happy to take the benefits of, you know, quantitative easing from the European Central Bank, which has caused inflation. It provided temporary solutions. But now we have a scenario where, in reality, the common agricultural policy would need to be almost doubled to take account of the kind of inflation in the cost of actually farming and running a farm and producing food.
Okay.
And equally, I see that, you know, supermarkets are going to have to face up to the fact that prices are going to farmers are going to have to be substantially higher for a long time to come to take account of this increase in cost. But, this has all been swept under the carpet to a considerable extent by policy now.
Okay, I just want to bring Tom back in. Tom, do you think the next generation, are they willing to go as far as the current generation of farmers, to make the same sacrifices that the current generation has made? I mean, when this generation retires, could we see a crisis, you know, when they retire and the next aren't willing to take over?
Well, we haven't even got to the stage of where the next generation will take over. It's about this generation continuing on farming. The one thing we've neglected to say so far is, not only are we affected on the business side of farming, but also on the personal household expenditure side of things too. Inflation is eating into what little money farmers are making. When kids are coming along and they see their parents farming and they see the workload that's there, and starting now at 6 o'clock in the morning and finishing when the sun goes down, it's pretty hard when they see their friends maybe working shift work a couple of days a week, making good continuous money. So I think farming is in big trouble here at the moment. And I think what's going to happen here is farmers will slow down. I mean, with the cost of inputs coming along there, with the scarcity of wheat and barley, and the whole chain is just going to slow down. Beef won't be finished as fast. There won't be the same return tonnage of wheat and barley and everything else to the acre. The quantity of milk will slow down, and we're really looking for a huge increase here on our farm produce as we sell it on. At the moment, it's totally undervalued, and that has to be rectified.
Yeah, well, just touching on a point that Eddie touched on in relation to the food shortages and the food crisis, is the warning of the food shortages caused by the war in Ukraine with Russia, is that placing an extra burden on farmers here? Is it adding to the stress they're feeling that we've already outlined?
It's because in the Ukraine, only 80% of the Ukraine was planted for grain this year, and the productivity of that is running at about 80%. So there is going to be a shortage of grain in a couple of, probably in a matter of weeks now. It takes a lot of grain to make up the feed for cattle and for dairy cows. And as that feed isn't available, the conveyor belt of production is going to slow down. And that's when we're going to see the farm output drop. The amount of beef created on each farm will drop. It will slow down because we can't feed cattle up to the same standard that we have become accustomed to in recent years. It's only when that happens, when people do realise the importance of food. And unfortunately, in comparison to any other industry, agriculture, it's very hard to turn on and off the tap. When we turn it off, it takes a season for it all to come back right again. And if we don't take action now, and we don't continue to take action, it will lead to a huge slowdown. I can't see how you come back from it. It'll take 12 months at least to come back from where we are now if we don't rectify the downward spiral that's happening. And as Eddie said there, the €1,000 grant to go towards fertilizer, I mean, that's a kick in the gut to the farmers there who are trying to eke out a living. I mean, your fertilizer bill has gone up three times as what it was last year. Your silage contractor has gone up 20-30%. The price of oil has gone up for running your farm. The cost of going into the merchant there to buy your few bits and pieces for doing repairs and stuff, that's gone up. If we don't think about it, we don't sit down and we don't have a proper financial budget for 22 and 23, farming will be at nothing in 2 years' time. And we'll become very dependent then on international farming to provide us with our own food and produce. And it would be a shame to let something that we are good at, something that we do in a very green and climatic beneficial way, to let that slip from under our feet at the moment.
Yeah, that's certainly a situation we never thought we'd find ourselves in here in Ireland. And Eddie, just to finish with you, it sounds like, you know, from what Tom is saying there in relation to war in Ukraine and the reduction in the production of barley and wheat and so on, that ultimately from a consumer's point of view, we could start seeing popular food items disappearing from our supermarket shelves.
Well, you'll already see it if you go into supermarkets at night time. You'll find that from time to time steak and other beef cuts are actually very scarce on the supermarket shelves. I think what we're looking at here is a globalization model that has gone wrong. We see that, yes, the big tech companies are paying huge salaries in Dublin, for example, and that's great for people who are working in them, but it's having a huge knock-on effect on everybody else living in Dublin. And, you know, right across the country, it's not just farmers. We see pubs and small restaurants and shops closing down, whereas we see the big corporations have made huge profits over the last couple of years. So there is, you know, huge big problems about the way in which politicians have allowed globalization to benefit big multinationals. We've been saying as an ICSA for a long time about how wrong the Mercosur deal was, which was done to benefit German car manufacturers, but is hugely damaging to beef farmers in Europe. And now the thing has gone into overdrive, but it's really time for a complete relook at how we run our global economy and how two key things, food security and energy security, have to go back up to the top of the agenda at the European Union. And farmers can play a part in solving those problems, but we've got to stop with this relentless, you know, blaming farmers for climate change, which was completely over the top anyway, and look at how we have policies that will deliver food security and energy security, and look at policies that will benefit the ordinary workers as well, rather than having everything for the benefit of the Facebooks and the Amazons and so on.